Well, good morning. It's good to have you here this morning. It's cold out, but it's warm inside. Hopefully you're able to stay warm. I'm going to step over to the piano and Cindy and I are going to sing together. We're going to sing Love Lifted Me, and then I'll come back and preach. Well, what a blessing it is to know that love did lift us and that we are saved and on our way to heaven. Today, we're going to talk about established in love, established in love. And I'm going to use two verses, John chapter 3 and verse number 16, and then Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 9. John 3 and verse number 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Philippians 1, 9 says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight and thank you so much for your many blessings to us. We pray, dear God, that you would be with us today as we open your word, that you might minister to our hearts. Feed us from your word, give us insight and understanding. And Lord, I pray that as we think about love on this Valentine's Day, that we'd be challenged with your great love. And Lord, we would not be concentrated on the worldly love, but upon your love. And Lord, might that change everything that we do. Might we serve you and bring honor and glory to you. Thank you for your many blessings. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. And so, I'm thankful for love. I'm thankful that God's given us emotions and ways to express ourselves. And love is one of probably the most valuable emotions that God has given us. Our world would be a miserable place to live without love. We can kind of see, you know, here in 2021, you know, it's become a selfish world. You look at the now president elect, and you know, he signed already, I was hearing yesterday or the day before, 57 different executive orders. It's all about him and what his group wants and all those things. It's not about the people anymore. It's about them. And so our world's starting to get more and more selfish. But we need to realize that as Christians, we shouldn't let that affect us. We need to be now more than ever more open with the love of God, sharing the love of God with those around us. And so we need to show forth the love of God. Without love, our world would be filled with hatred and people who despise one another. And we sure don't want that in our life. We don't want that to be a part of our life. And so we need to learn to love the way Jesus did. So it brings us to our first point, which is the greatest example of love. The greatest example of love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Man, what a great and awesome example of love. And then my favorite, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so the greatest example of love is Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins. It's an unfathomable to think about Jesus dying in my stead. I just have a hard time grasping that and dealing with it. I've shared that with church many times. To just be able to truly understand exactly what it was like to have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who had never sinned, who was perfect, who was the spotless Lamb of God, come and give himself for a sinner such as me. What an awesome thing that he would do that. He did not deserve to die. He didn't deserve to die. Jesus Christ never did anything wrong. He didn't deserve to die. Yet he took my place and your place. He died in our stead. We were the ones who deserved to die, not Jesus Christ. When Jesus died in our place, the Bible describes it as a sweet-smelling savor. Now, in Ephesians 5:2, it says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And so, when Jesus Christ came, always before in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, as we heard about the last several weeks, under the Old Covenant, they had to keep the law. Part of the law was they would bring blood sacrifices. Those sacrifices would be offered. That blood never washed away sin. It just covered sin. And so the whole time their sin is being covered, it's been put to the back. But when Jesus Christ came, his was the perfect blood. And when his blood was offered and he died for our sins, the Bible said it was a sweet-smelling savor up in heaven. And it was a sweet-smelling savor for the whole world. We ought to be thankful for the fact that Jesus died for our sins. By the way, not just our sins, but the sins of the entire world. All men, women, boys, and girls who have ever lived upon the face of the earth have the opportunity to be saved simply by asking Jesus Christ to come into their heart and forgive them of their sins and accept him as their Lord and Savior. And so his offering was the ultimate sacrifice. It was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect blood to not just cover sin, but to wash away the sin of mankind. It was a sweet-smelling savior, a savior, because it was filled, it fulfilled the requirements to pay the debt for the sin of all mankind. Man, what a wonderful thing that is, that his precious sacrifice there on the cross of Calvary, his shedding of his blood for our sins, was the ultimate sacrifice. It was the perfect sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. And by offering himself and becoming that sweet-smelling savor to the Lord and to all of heaven, to all those who are saved, it was once and for all the sin debt of mankind was paid for. Another verse about God's great love is found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 19. It says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. That automatically takes my thoughts to Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, because Jesus Christ died for me while I was yet a sinner, and he died and purchased for me my eternal home in heaven. He washed away all of my sins. I can't help but love him. And I love him more than I love anyone else. He's done the most for me of anyone that's ever done anything for me. And I've had a lot of great things done for me, but none of them compare with Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, that heaven might be my eternal home. I never had experienced such great love in my entire life as I did that night that I got on my knees and prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. When I did, I realized what Jesus had done for me on the cross of Calvary. And I can't help but love him because he first loved me. You know, he showed his love to me by loving me, by caring for me. It's kind of like when you have a baby. You know, you have a baby and you bring that baby home, and what do? You care for it. You bathe it. You change its diapers. You feed it. You see that it has everything that it needs to grow. Now you teach it to speak. And I can remember my boys, you know, getting home from work. I'd pick them up, and it seemed like mama was kind of the natural thing. And so I would work on dad, 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 dad. You know, I wanted them to say dada. And I worked on that with them. And, you know, I couldn't wait for them to be able to do stuff. And the first time that they on their own told me that they loved me, wow, what a difference maker that was. It's so great because I had loved them and loved them and loved them and put into them and put into them and put into them. And then when they just returned that, you know, even today when I'm talking to one of my sons and before we close the conversation, many times they'll say, "Dad, I just want you to know I love you." Or they're calm, their heart's broken, they're going through some difficulty, and they'll just say, "Dad, I love you." And I'm telling you that it makes up for all the care that was given to them at the very beginning. And it's that way Jesus Christ died for the sins of all mankind, that whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. And a lot of mankind he's waiting on. The offer of salvation's there, the price has been paid, all they have to do is take it. And yet they won't accept it. They won't accept that free gift. Many are going to go to hell because they're too proud to accept that free gift of salvation. You know, let it not be said of us that because of the price that was paid for our sins, that we never showed our love in return to the Lord. It should be just the opposite. We should show our great love for the Lord because he first loved us. And, you know, I think about where I would be if it wasn't for the love of God. I wasn't a lovable person. I wasn't a lovable guy. You know, many of us were thrown away on the dunghill of the world. They didn't care about us. They didn't want us. They didn't care about us. Some of us had addictions. We were ungodly and immoral. We were living to please ourselves and not thinking or caring about who we hurt as long as we had our way. This is where I was, but he loved me. But he loved me. That's where he loved me from. He loved me from the pits and the dregs of society and this world and sin and immorality. He loved me there and he cared for me and he gave his life for me. Listen, no one has ever loved me that much. I have a wonderful wife and she loves me, but she's never loved me that much. My children love me, but they've never loved me that much. My grandchildren love me. They've never loved me that much. I have many friends and they love me, but they've never loved me that much. No one will ever love you as much as Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you so much, he went to the cross of Calvary and there died for your sins because of his great love for you. Listen, in 1 John 4:9-10, it says, "And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Man, hallelujah. He loved us before we ever loved him. And because of that great love, Jesus died on the cross for us. Even before we were here upon this earth, he paid that price that we might have a home in heaven. Listen, we ought to love him and we ought to love him greatly. The second thing I want to think about when it comes to being established in love is the relationship of a husband and wife. The relationship of a husband and wife. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25, "Husbands, love your wives." And then it goes on and says, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so there's a big criteria placed upon the fact that men ought to love their wives. And he even tells us how we ought to love our wives. We ought to love them the way that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And so, you know, men, when it comes to a husband-wife relationship, we need not to be self-centered, because that's not the way Jesus loved the church. We need to be selfless. We need to be putting self to the back. We need to be doing all that we can to help our wives, to encourage our wives, to teach our wives, to love our wives. We need to do all that we can to show them great love. I remember a friend of mine was a Christian counselor. He told me one time he was doing counseling with this guy that played for the Chicago Bears. And they come into the office, the big old lineman and his little wife, and they sat there at the table, and she broke down into tears, and he said, "What's going on?" And she said, "Well, my husband here, he doesn't tell me that he loves me. He hasn't ever told me that he loves me." And he turns to this big old hunk of a man, and he says, "What do you have to say for yourself?" And he goes, "I told her I loved her when I married her, and if I change my mind, I'll tell her." That's not the way it's supposed to be. Women need the emotional touch. They need to hear that they are loved. They need to know that they're cared about. And, you know, Valentine's Day is just a great time to stop and do that. Whether you get flowers, or you take them out to eat, or you buy them candy, or you get up and you make them breakfast. Hey, that's an idea. It's cold outside. Maybe you can make breakfast or lunch or dinner. Or you could, you know, call 648-8888 and order Pizza Hut. You know, whatever it takes. We ought to show our spouses that we love them. We ought to show our wives how much they matter. You know, it really wouldn't hurt us to get up and vacuum the floor. You know, I used to do some vacuuming, not enough, some vacuuming. And then we got one of those Sharkies. And, man, every morning, 8 o'clock, it goes off and it starts going through the house, running that vacuum. And I would tell my wife, I said, "Well, that sounds pretty good. I'm up vacuuming." And, you know, it's little things that we can do to help. Go shopping with them. Help them, you know, we ought to carry the groceries in. We ought to do all those things that are heavy and hard. A good husband looks for opportunities to show his wife how much he really loves them, because Christ loved the church. The way that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, we as husbands then ought to show our wives how much we love them. We ought to care for them and love them. You say, "Well, I'll do that when they show me love back." That's not what Christ did. Christ loved the church, and he loves the church today. Even when people will spit on him and walk away from him, he still loves them. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 28. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Ephesians 5:33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." You know, men, we don't have a problem caring for ourselves. Well, at least I hope you don't have a problem caring for yourself. I hope that you take a bath or a shower, and, you know, after you've worked hard all day and you stink and you've sweated, go take a shower, change your clothes, put new clothes on. You know, we're to care for ourselves. We shave, we brush our teeth, I hope. We use deodorant, we comb our hair, we do all those things. When it comes to this kind of weather, we put coats on and gloves and hats and scarves so that we don't get cold. We keep ourselves warm. We see that we're fed, and many of us see we're fed on a certain time frame, you know. We see that all of our needs are met and taken care of. And we see that our wants, many of our wants are also fulfilled. And so we have that responsibility to love our wives and to show our wives. Now, ladies, just in case you think that it's only a husband's responsibility to love, the scripture does say in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4 that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. The older ladies in church have a responsibility to teach the younger ladies in the church to love their husbands. Moms, you ought to teach your daughters to love their husbands. You ought to teach your daughters to respect her husband, to love her husband, to encourage her husband, how to do all those things. And one of the best ways they see it is by the way you treat their dad. And so husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And then the ladies in return are to learn to love their husbands also. It's a dual street of love. And both need to learn how to love. And what is our greatest example of love? That's right, Christ's love. When he died there on the cross of Calvary and proved his great love for us. Remember that we are to love each other the way that Jesus loves us. He is our great example. It leads me to our third point today, which is brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. Now, I didn't have any physical sisters, and I had a couple of ornery physical brothers, okay? But when I got saved, I got a whole bunch of family that I never had before. I got brothers and sisters in the Lord. The Bible says that when I got saved, I became a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He became my brother. And so did all the rest that were saved. You know, the book of Acts, Paul is being referred to, and it says, Brother Paul. I had someone one time tell me, where do you come up with that brother thing? Well, right there, you know, in Acts, it talks about Brother Paul. And we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're going to spend an eternity together. It's really a sad thing that brothers and sisters cannot learn to get along together here on this earth, because we're going to spend eternity together. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 24, it says, Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of your boasting on your behalf. And so we are to show our love for one another. We are to encourage one another. We are to strengthen one another. We are joint heirs. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:15, Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. And so we are to love our brothers and sisters. We are to encourage them. We are to strengthen them. We are to lift them up and pray for them. We're to encourage them as they walk with the Lord. We're to pray for them and come alongside them, encourage them, and help them. In 1 John 4:11-12, it says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Verse 12, No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And then Hebrews 13:1 says, Let brotherly love continue. And so we're to love one another. We're to love one another. We're to love one another. We care for one another. We love one another. We encourage one another. We are to love the brotherhood and be of one mind. In 1 Peter 2:17, it says, Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. 1 Peter 3:8 says, Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Having compassion, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. God tells us to have Christ dwell in our hearts by faith. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And rooted and grounded sounds like a tree, right? We know that the Bible tells us in Psalms, it starts off Psalms 1, about the tree that's planted by the river of life. And that's the way we as Christians ought to be. We ought to be grounded. We ought to be rooted. And part of that grounding and part of that rooting is that we learn to love one another. Listen, you know, if you go to church very long, someone's going to offend you. It's going to happen. Why? Because we're all just saved sinners. Amen. And so someone's going to offend you. Listen, if I ever offend you, I am so sorry. And if you'll come and point out the offense, I'll be the first to apologize for it. Because I don't intend to offend anyone. But listen, it's a part of natural life. It's a part of people being around each other. And yet we need to learn to love each other to the point that we forgive and we go on. If you can't forgive and go on, then you need to have a sit down with them. Listen, you just don't pack your bag, take your toys and leave. That's because we're going to have to face each other in heaven for all of eternity. No, what we need to do is we need to learn to emphasize like the book of Matthew, where if you have aught between your brother, you go to that brother and you sit down and you resolve the issue. If you can't do it, then you go and get someone and take them with you. And, you know, we need to learn to resolve issues. We need to learn to mature in our walk with God, that we would show forth the love of God to this lost and dying world around us. We need the love of God that passeth knowledge. Ephesians 3:19 says, "And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." And so we're to have this great love of God that passeth all knowledge. It doesn't make sense, you know. It doesn't make sense that I would let that person get away with that. Someone might come to you and say, "Why'd you let that person get away with that? Why'd you let them treat you that way?" Well, it's because I love them. And, you know, God told me to forgive them. I forgave them. It's time to go on. There's more important things. And, you know, there's been times I've been able to do that. And there's been times I've had to sit down with people and say, "Look, we need to hash this out. We need to come to a workable agreement that we might continue on to serve the Lord together." And so we're taught of God to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous." And so we're to have this great love for one another. We're to help and pray for one another, encourage one another, because we're going to spend eternity together. That brings us to our fourth and final point. Now, don't go putting your coats on. We haven't said amen yet. Oh, I guess you're not leaving. You're at your own house, right? So don't check out just yet. Yeah, listen to this final point. We're to have a love for the lost world. We're to have a love for the lost world. I'm thankful for missions. What a great opportunity for us to be able to reach around the world for the cause of Christ. To reach around the world, to send missionaries to go, to carry the good news, to tell other people about the Lord. But listen, mission starts outside the door of your house. All you have to do is look up and down the street you live on. And if you're like me, I've got houses all around me. On a good day, there's tons of people moving around, in and out, in and out. And I've tried over the years to do what I can to affect the people who live around me for the cause of Christ. I want to have an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord, to share God's goodness. And God will give you different opportunities through the years to be able to do that. We've lost, you know, my mom and my brother-in-law since we've lived here at this house. And the neighbors knew it. They were so sweet. Came and brought food and cared and honest. And then when I'd find out about needs in their life, I'd offer to pray for them and even pray for them right there on the spot. We need to show the lost world around us that we care about them, because they're not used to that. It'll kind of freak them out, you know, if we say that we care about them, then we show that we care about them. It'll make a great impact for the cause of Christ. So we need to love the lost world around us. Galatians 5:14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Galatians 5:20 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." But the first one is love. We need to learn to love. We need to learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is even the ungodly. We need to learn to love them as ourselves. We need to learn to encourage them, help them, pray for them, do all that we can to help them to come to Christ. God loves people in their sins. Listen, you know, I've heard it for years that, you know, you go out and you win people to the Lord and then they clean up their life and then they come to church. That's not the way it happens, man. People come to church in their sin. Maybe it's alcoholism. Maybe it's drug addiction. Maybe it's pornography. They come with their sin. They come with the weight that is up on them. And we have to love them. We have to show them the love of God. We have to care for their souls. And listen, you know, it would be a great thing if our church was just filled with just sinners waiting to get saved. And we just loved on them and encouraged them. And, you know, we don't want to drive sinners away in their sin. We want to love sinners in their sin. We want them to see and feel and know the love of God. And so we have a great opportunity. So we've got to be careful that church doesn't become a place of judgment where we sit back and we go, "Oh, they're not good enough to come here. Those people, who do they think they are to come to our church? Don't they realize what they do? They pull our level of church down," whatever that is, right? We need to win lost people where they're at. That means that, you know, they might still smoke, they might drink, they might cuss, you know. I don't know how many people that I've dealt with through the years, and especially the new saved people. And they'll slip and they'll cuss from time to time. Oh, preacher, I'm sorry. Hey, you know what? I remember what that was like. I was that guy, you know, all those years ago. And so we've got to realize we just need to learn to love people. Love them in their sins. Not that we're accepting their sins, but we're wanting to see them to come to Jesus Christ and to learn to love him. They're never going to come to Christ outside the church like they used to. Listen, you're going to have to bring them in. You're going to have to love on them. You're going to have to encourage them and share with them the love of God. They've got to see that it's real. It ought to be a real thing in every child of God's life, that we don't sit back in judgment, judging one another or judging people as they come in. We need to love them right where they're at. I've shared this story many times. When I was in Bible college, you know, before I got saved, I had hair down on my shoulders and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm in Bible college. And this guy walks in with his girlfriend, and I kid you not, he had hair down to his waist. It was in a big long ponytail down to his waist. He come down, I found out later he was with his mom. Came down front and sat on the front row, and he got saved that day. He got saved that day. I remember going up to him and, you know, exchanging names. And a lot of people were kind of standoffish there as he came in that morning, but I'm like, I can relate to that guy. I know right where he's coming from. I went up, his name was Billy Grogan. I got to know Billy, and I said, hey man, glad that you're here. And then that morning he got saved. I went back up and I said, man, what a wonderful thing. You got saved. You know, Christ is your savior. And, I began to look for him every week, and about 2 weeks in, I didn't see him. And then I noticed this guy sitting up there with his mom. Billy had gone out and gotten his hair cut. And I'm like, wow, you know what? The preacher didn't get up there and preach with long hair and blah, blah, blah. He didn't do that. And people didn't go around, you need a haircut, you need a haircut. They didn't do that at all. It was just people loved him. You know, people, if we will just love people, share with them the goodness of God, teach them to read their Bible. The Holy Spirit will take that Bible and teach them amazing things in their life. And so we need to teach them that. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. It's called the Great Commission right there. And I'm looking forward to Missions Month coming up. This is the 1st of March every year. It's going to be great. Brother Richard and his wife Leslie are going to be a part of our missions conference, and it's going to be exciting to see what God does. We're going to ordain him on Friday night. And then Sunday, we're going to commission them to go out to be sent into the world. And I told him on Monday, don't come to work because you don't work for us anymore. You're out there to raise support to get to the field. And so it's an exciting thing. It's exciting for us as a church. Not a lot of churches are getting to do this nowadays. Man, we're one of a select few. And so we got to get behind them. We got to love them. We got to love on them. We got to pray for them. You know, right now we ought to be praying that God would fill his calendar for the rest of the year, that he'll not have any spare time. He'll just be going, 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 because we don't want a lazy missionary. We want a missionary who loves God, who's out there representing Jesus Christ. He's in churches. He's telling people about the Lord, and that's all that he can do. And then we want to see him get to the field. I mean, as quick as possible, year and a half. We want to see him getting on a plane. We want to be crying and slinging snot and telling them goodbye and watch them get on a plane and fly over to Papua New Guinea and begin their serving of the Lord over there. I'm telling you, it's an exciting thing to be involved in missions. But if that's all the church ever does is send missionaries or support missionaries going around the world, and they refuse to go across the street and tell the lost about Christ, we're missing it. The lost need to know about Jesus. They're never going to know about Jesus unless we tell them. Why should we tell them? Because someone loved us. Someone loved us enough to tell us. Aren't you glad they did? Man, I'm so glad. I was told how much God loved me, how that Jesus Christ had died for many, many, many times before I ever got saved. I'm so glad I was. I'm so glad for the preacher God put in my life at that time, Brother Jim Clifford. Man, he was a great expositor of Scripture. And, man, I fell in love with the way he preached. And, you know, it wasn't long after starting to go to that church where it was believed that the Bible was real. Said come from a church where the preacher said, I don't even know if hell exists. Well, if you don't believe hell exists, what makes you think heaven exists? You know, we live in a spiritual realm, folks. There's spiritual realm going on around us. Heaven is real. Hell is real. The lake of fire is real. The Bible is real. The souls of mankind are real. There's spiritual warfare going on all around us. Listen, we need to love the lost because someone loved you. Wouldn't have been a sad thing if no one would have loved you and told you about Jesus Christ, but someone cared enough. They loved you enough to tell you about Jesus. And so, for God so loved the world, again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man, I'm so thankful for the love of God. Might it establish us in our loves as, in our love as husband and wife, in our love as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and in our love for the lost world around us. Listen, I hope you have a great day. I pray that you stay safe, that you'll stay warm. I want you to know we love you, we pray for you, and we look forward to being together again. Now, Brother Charles is going to get on. He's going to make an announcement for those going to the married couples retreat. Those going to marriage couple retreat, you want to listen to that. And also he's going to post the bulletin since you weren't there to get it this morning. So you'll kind of know where we're at and what's going on. I want you to know I love you very much. And I thank God I get to be your pastor and preach to you on a weekly basis. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for the fact that Jesus Christ left his home in heaven to come and to give his life that we might be saved, that we might know heaven is our eternal home. Lord, I pray for husband and wives out there today. I pray that you'd strengthen marriages. I pray that husbands and wives would love each other. Lord, that we would be the families you would have us to be. Teach us to love our children, to train them for your honor and your glory. Lord, I pray for us as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Teach us how to get along with one another, to serve you together, and to bring honor and glory to your precious name. And then, Lord, I pray that we'd reach this lost and dying world for the cause of Christ. Give us a vision. Give us a great desire to see the lost come to know you as their Lord and Savior. We love you and thank you for this time together today. We ask these things in your wonderful, most blessed name. Amen. May the good Lord bless you. Have a great day and stay warm.